Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this is program number 41, if you're listening by shortwave radio. I want to take a moment and mention that we have a Spanish version of Strength for the Journey. It's called fuerzaparaelviaje.com. So if you know people that are speak Spanish and would like to see the website in Spanish, it's on that site. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about the preparation of the bride and a word the Lord spoke to me the other morning regarding this topic. My heart's been in this area for a while, and I'm just concerned many people are not ready, and I just want to make sure I'm ready too. And so I'm just passionate about this topic right now. I want to mention a few things here before we start the program tonight about the tracks are in shipment right now. We have 110,000 tracks that are being trucked right now to Florida, and then they'll be put on a boat here in about a week. And our main desire is to make sure that we get these tracks by the crusade in November. Janet and Ray Clark will be coming back to Panama on November 30th, and we'll have a crusade across the country for about 20 days. So we're just really excited about what the opportunities are going to be opening up here to minister. I recently was asked to preach at a young youth group here in David, Panama, and the Lord really put a heart or put the word on evangelism and what makes us inside desire to be an evangelist, and is there a passion inside of us that to reach others as the Lord has reached us? And so this is something that's really been very much in my heart lately. And I want to read a word the Lord gave me the other morning. And the question was I was asking him is, how do we know if we are your bride? And this is what he said. He said, how do you know if you're my bride? I'm the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning, and the last thing on your mind when you go to bed at night. You don't just say you love me, you're in love with me. You don't just love me in word, you love me indeed. Are you really in love with me? What's the first thing on your mind when you awake, and the last thing on your mind when you go to bed? Is it your work or your pleasure? Is it what you have or what you don't have? Is it the world or me? Is it your life or mine? You may claim to love me, but are you in love with me? Am I your treasure or is the world? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Identify your treasure now, for everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The very foundation of men's lives are about to be shaken, to test what they are really made of. Everything not founded upon the rock will be washed away. Many lives have been built upon sand. Am I the foundation of your life? Have you built your life upon an eternal and lasting foundation or a world-loving, temporal foundation? Check your lamp. Now is the time. Are you sure you have enough oil? Darkness is coming. Only those who hear now will see later. Will you be among those lost in the dark, or will you find your way? My bride doesn't just love me, she's in love with me. She loves my voice and every word that proceeds out of my mouth. She responds when I call her, and she will follow me anywhere. My bride has made herself ready. This is the word the Lord gave me the other morning, and it is another word that is really saying, examine yourself. And these are some things that we can use as a guideline to examine ourselves to see whether we are really in love with Him. You know, when we are looking for a bride, we don't want just to marry anybody. We want to marry somebody who is in love with us. We want to marry someone who isn't just saying words, "I love you," but later we find out that they really didn't. The Lord is testing us just like we would want to test our future spouse to find out whether or not we really love our future spouse, or whether they really love us, or whether we really do love the Lord. You know, the Lord has already proven His love to us. There's an article I wrote a while back regarding this topic of how the Lord has demonstrated His love to us, and now it's our turn to demonstrate our love to Him. And many people think that they love Him, but I think with this word, the way it was worded, it's really time to examine ourselves to find out whether we're really in love with Him. Because, you know, when you think about it, the way the Lord asked us whether we would follow Him was almost very much like we would if we were asking somebody if they wanted to marry us. And I wrote some things here as well that I want to mention as well. This is from Luke 10:25-28. And it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempting Him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And the man answered, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. Do this, and you shall live.'" When I read this, it just really kind of jumped out, is that Jesus was answering this man with the path to eternal life. And these two scriptures were what it was hanging on. Jesus gave the simplicity of the gospel with a statement and should be the guideline and watermark for our salvation. The majority of people consider themselves, or the majority of people who consider themselves saved, believe this because they prayed a prayer or they walked an aisle. But let's use this scripture to examine whether or not we have life, eternal life. Do we really love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? Is there anything that means more to us than Him? Is there anything that would stand between Him and our obedience to Him? Is there anything that you wouldn't give up if He asked you to? Is there any place you wouldn't leave if He asked you to go? Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Do you love anyone more than Him, including yourself or your own life? Do your possessions mean more to you than Him? The Lord recently spoke to me saying, "If your possessions mean more to you than Me, then you can have them. But the price to keep them will be far more than the price you paid to get them." Luke 10:27 says Jesus' response, and Jesus' response in Luke 10:28 should be our guideline to eternal life. Everything we do and say should be examined against Luke 10:27. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this should be used to see whether we really are the Lord's or whether or not we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As equally important as loving the Lord with our whole heart is to do we really love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. What evidence is in our lives that this is the case? If we really care about our own salvation, do we equally care about another man's salvation as well? Are we really convinced Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? When was the last time we told somebody else about Him? Are you in love with Jesus, or do you merely claim to love Him? If you're in love with someone, you can't help but tell anyone and everyone about Him. He's the first thing on your mind when you wake up and the last thing on your mind when you go to bed at night. If you were really in love with Him, you would follow Him anywhere He goes and do whatever He asked you to do. Are you really in love with Jesus, or do you merely claim to love Him? What evidence is there that you really love Him, or are you really are in love with Him? The Lord recently reminded me also how I asked my wife to marry me. I didn't ask, "Will you marry me?" I said to her, "I don't know where the Lord in life would take me, but would you like to come along?" I realize now the question I was really asking her was, "Are you so in love with me that you will follow me and go with me anywhere the Lord says to go?" She answered yes, and we have had a wonderful journey together over the past 25 years. When we say yes to Jesus and we ask him into our heart, saying, "I make you the Lord of my life," we are really saying, "Yes, I will do whatever you ask me to do and go wherever you ask me to go. I am turning the lordship of my life from me to you." But is that really the way we live our life? Do we really live our lives under his lordship or our own? One of the things the Lord spoke to me recently was, "You may have it your way in this life, but not in the life to come." As I was pondering these words, the story of the rich man and Lazarus came to mind, that was found in Luke 16, 19 through 31. When the rich man said to Father Abraham, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Then Abraham, referring to the rich man's son, said, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Luke 16:19 says the rich man fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20 and 21 says, "There was a certain beggar, Lazarus, that was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." The needs of another were quite obvious, but the rich man lived for himself to such an extent that he ignored the needs of another. He was so consumed with living his life to the fullest that he cared not for another man's needs. He got one life the way he wanted, but not the next life. How many people are living their own lives for themselves to the fullest, that they overlook the needs of others? Will this be the evidence in the divine court of eternity that we really didn't love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and therefore could not love our neighbor as ourself? Now is the time to examine the evidence of our life and seek the truth about ourselves. The rich man ignored the obvious and suffered eternally. Father Abraham called the rich man son. How many today consider themselves as sons of the Father in heaven, but have no more compassion for others as the rich man had for Lazarus? It's time to examine the evidence. Will the Lord say to us, "Remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and someone laid at your eyes had evil things, but you cared not equally for him as you did your own. You had it your way in your lifetime, but not in the life to come. Depart from me." Matthew said in chapter 22, he said that all the law and the prophets hang on these two scriptures. It's time to examine the evidence. You know, these scriptures are really the watermark. It should be the level that we rise up to and really examine whether this is really the case of our life. Do we really love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And then do we love our neighbor as ourself? We're going to play a song here in just a moment here. It's a song by Hillsong, and it's called "None But Jesus."
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. Refuge.
crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. In the chaos, in confusion, I know you're sovereign still.
One thing I really love about this song is it sounds like it's sung by someone who is in love with Jesus. The words, one of the parts of the song here says, "There's no one else for me, none but Jesus." You know, when you get married to somebody, that's essentially what you're saying when you get married to somebody. There's no one else for me but you. And if that's the attitude that we have about our eternal time that God wants to spend with us, he's looking for someone that loves him more than anything else in the world, and especially the world, because we have this competition going on for our heart. There's a competition that goes on between the love of this world and the love for him. And it says in 1 John, it says that all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is of the world. And we have to decide that we don't want the world, because this is what the drawing power is from the world, is our flesh, our eyes, and our pride. And the Bible says that the love of this world is enmity with me. And we have to understand that when we love the world and the things of this world, we're loving something that's competing with our love for the Lord. And if we allow the love of this world to fill our heart, then it will draw us away from Him, and we'll lose our love for Him. And I believe that's why Jesus made it very clear. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. And he said that if you want to follow me, you can't love anybody more than me. This is found in Luke chapter 14, is that if you want to follow me, this is the criteria to follow me. It's you can't love anybody more than me, including your own life. And this is means not only people, but then he goes on further in the chapter, and he says that you have to forsake all. And in order to forsake all is that you have to decide what something is worth. What is the value of what I'm giving up and what I'm going to get? And he describes a man that you have to really count the cost of what it's going to cost you to follow him. He said, you know, who would go to war and not count the cost? Would you go up against somebody with 20,000 and you only had 10 without counting the cost? Would you begin to build something and not count the cost that you were not able to finish the project because you didn't really know the cost? And then he goes on, he talks about the pearl of great price, that there was a merchant that sold all that he had, and he bought the field. He wanted that pearl so bad that it didn't matter. It would cost him everything. And we have to decide whether Jesus is worth everything, because that's what he's looking for in a bride. He's looking for somebody that nothing else in the world means more to than him. Because he wants somebody who's in love with him. He doesn't want to marry somebody who just claims to love him. He wants to see a demonstration of love. And when he said to follow me, this is what it's going to take to follow me. You're going to have to forsake all. You have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And you can't love anybody more than me, including your own life. And when we demonstrate this act of love, is that there's nothing that means more to us than Him, then we begin to follow Him. And I was writing an article one time, and I didn't really know where the Lord was going to take it. But as I began to write this article, and I was writing out these words of following Him, what does it cost to follow Him? And He began to show me, He said, well, where do you think I was asking you to follow me? And He began to show me that the wedding, to arrive at the wedding, is the ultimate destiny of our following Him, is to be with Him forever. And there's a great price to pay to follow Him to that extent. He said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There's a road that is not an easy one to follow. It's a narrow one. And it's not for the weak, the fearful. It's ones that will do whatever it takes, whatever the cost, to follow Him to the very end, because He is our prize. He is our treasure. That everything that we've given up is for Him, because He's worth everything. There's nothing worth more to us than Him. And this is where you really find whether you really do believe or not, whether you really believe that there is an eternal life, that you're willing to give up this life for the life to come. And I look at it like this. It's like looking down a beach, and you see the beach as the grains of sand of eternity, that the time of eternity is longer than anyone can imagine, like trying to count the grains of sand on a beach. And you pick up one little grain of sand, and you look at this thing, and you know what? This is my life compared to eternity, is this little grain of sand in my hand. I'm willing to give this one up for him to gain the whole beach of eternity with him. And it's a price many people don't want to pay because they think that this is the only life they'll ever have. And actually the truth is, if you believe that this is the only life that you'll ever have, then that will be the case, that this will be the only life you'll ever have. But if you understand that there is more to this life than what meets the eye, that God has offered us so much more than this one life. And you know, one of the great things about really giving your life to the Lord is that he says, if you'll seek me with all your heart, I will be found. And he wants us to be willing to yield this up, because he says that if you'll seek me with all of your heart, if you'll desire me with all of your heart, he said, I will give you the desires of your heart. And if we will just give him our heart, then he will give us new desires in our heart. He will put new desires in our heart that he will fulfill. I had no idea what life would be like on the other side of leaving the States to go to a land I didn't have a clue of anybody. I didn't know the language, and I didn't know what was going on really, other than I know that God said to go. And once I arrived, then the doors began to open. But the doors would never have opened if I had not left. You know, the Lord spoke to Abraham, and he said, leave and I'll show you. And the biggest problem with most people today is they say back to the Lord, show me and I'll leave. They're not willing to step out in faith, trusting God spoke to them to go do what he said to do. And God's looking for people, men and women, that will trust him and will obey him at his leading. And this is what God is looking for. Will you follow me anywhere? Will you leave your comfort zone to go to a new land, to a new place in your life, to a new level in your life, in your walk with me? Do you really want to hear my voice? Do you really hunger for me? If we really will hunger and thirst after him, he said that we will be filled, that he will fill us. And this is what God is offering us right now, is he's offering us more than we have if we'll be willing to give up what we have. So I want to thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.